Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergence zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show. Hello, welcome. Hi, everybody. Thank you for being here. It is a beautiful May 15th, 2013. I am Molly McCord, your hostess of this weekly program. Thank you so much for listening. I hope to give you a lot of valuable, insightful wisdom during this hour together. I know your time is valuable, so it's my commitment to give you as much as I can to empower you and help you right now. Today's topic is about the spiritual purpose of the ego. And we're going to look at how we can use our ego energy to its fullest potential, as well as why we have egos. You know, we didn't come here with excess baggage. We didn't come here with excess energy, meaning you have an ego for a reason. So we're going to get to some understandings around that and how to incorporate it in healthy ways in your life. It's going to be a really good topic to go through. Related to this, we're going to look at the astrological component of the ego, which is represented by Mars, the planet Mars. So if you have your astrology chart, we're going to take a look at what Mars means in your chart. We're going to look at Mars in each of the 12 astrological signs. If you do not have your astrology chart, you can grab a free one at astro.com, where you put in your birth data and you can get a free chart. And you can come back to the show and listen to this episode again. We'll start the astrology portion around the 40-minute mark. So if you wanted to come back and hear more about Mars, just in case you don't have that chart in front of you right now. I have a few announcements to share before we get into today's topic. The first announcement is that we have our final eclipse coming up, May 24th. This one is going to be different. Energetically different because it's going to involve Sagittarius and Gemini energies. We have been working with these energies strongly over the past, 10 months or so, even more. So we're going to look at those energies as they relate to the eclipse. I have a full detailed write-up that's going to be live on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. If you're not already on the email newsletter list, please sign up and you get that information first. And it gives you not only the astrological insights, but just some intuitive downloads and other things mixed in. So that is coming up May 24th. May 20th, that is next Monday, we have the Pluto-Uranus square. It is the third transit, the third pass of these two planets together. It's been ongoing since about a year ago, and it's going to move or carry us through 2015. We're undergoing some big fundamental changes, collectively, individually, galactically, globally, every level. We're already feeling the energy now, we're already in it, but it's also why this month of May is such a powerhouse. So just be aware that Monday is a big, big energy day, and if you can make any arrangements, take care of yourself, to sleep more, to have additional food. I mean, everything ready so that you can really nurture yourself as we undergo some more of these big downloads. In the next few weeks, I have some new shows to share with you. We're going to look at, next week, we're going to look at spiritual mastery, boundaries, discernment, and solitude, why each of these is important and crucial to our journeys, even though they don't always feel like exciting lessons or uplifting experiences. They are part of our spiritual mastery, and I'm going to share with you some insights from my spiritual team about why. The following week, I'm going to answer some of your spirituality questions. I have put a form on the website, ConsciousSchoolChic.com, where you can submit questions, and there's some great ones coming in. I'm going to give you a sneak peek. Somebody has asked, what does it mean when psychics are wrong? And I'm going to say wrong, quote unquote. Really good information there. Good stuff for you to know about that. Another person asked about affirmations. And are affirmations really just band-aids, or do they have more behind them? Also good information, because affirmations have been around for a very long time. There's some good insights about the use of affirmations and how to make the most of them. And then there's a few astrology questions and some other things coming in. So if you have a question, go ahead and submit it. If it doesn't make it to this month, it'll be on the June edition. The astrology special is still going on. I've had a lot of people scheduling their sessions to get more information about how the eclipses are working with them. So that's on the website as well. And then I just want to share with you one of my own experiences is that I have had more animals crossing my path in the past week or so. And as you know, animals are often associated with different energies, themes, lessons, information for us. As we expand in consciousness, we know that everything offers us information because everything is energy. And so I've been paying attention to these animals that have come into my world. They've been quite unexpected. I was taking one of my long walks around the neighborhood, and I came across donkeys. I did not even know donkeys were in my neighborhood. But I stopped and I spoke with the farmer who owns them and found out a lot of cool information about donkeys. And I've come to see how misunderstood they are. But they have strong intelligence. Big ears, so they're open to their environment. They're open to hearing and listening. They are connected to dedication, versatility, determination, also stubbornness. That's probably one of the obvious themes. But it was fascinating to me to run into donkey. So I also have, let's see, oh, heron. Heron was the other animal I saw. That was just on Sunday. I was down by the river, and my partner and I, we just watched this beautiful heron for 20 minutes, and it was fascinating. And again, the heron has a lot of information for us. Other animals that I've come across lately have been bees, eagles, frogs, and a few more. So if you find yourself coming across new animals and new unexpected friends, understand, too, that that is a message of some sort for you, and that there's some themes going on that if you choose to explore them more, you might find some good information about what you need to know right now and what spiritual guidance is bringing your way. So that has been very fun, animals crossing my path. I'm going to take a deep breath and actually ground myself a bit more. Just take a few seconds here, because the energy we're going to be looking at, the spiritual purpose of the ego, it's pretty intense, and I'm feeling some people are here with a little bit of boundaries or resistance on some levels. I'm feeling that. So I'm just going to take a deep breath here, and just a moment, give me a second, and I'll be right back. Okay, thank you. So, spiritual purpose of the ego. What does the ego have to teach us? Well, we come to identify the ego as usually connected to the lowest expressions of humanity, connected to the lower expressions of the mind, of fears, of all these parts of ourselves that we've been wanting to get away from. The ego has the ability to stir up things in us to make us feel that we need to control, that we need to assert ourselves, that we need to be in full command of a situation. And one of the driving fears is that the ego can reinforce our separateness from each other, from source and spirit, from ourselves, from our own talents and abilities. The ego has the ability to unconsciously fight in order to maintain control, to try and dominate. And one of the reasons why is because the ego holds our memories at a cellular DNA level of all of our experiences of being separate. The ego holds every memory that we've had, every experience we've had about being apart from God, apart from spirit. And then the times that we've been betrayed, killed, murdered, threatened, hurt, on and on. It holds all of those memories at an energetic level. And that is why it then wants to control, because it does not want those experiences to repeat itself. It thinks it knows what to do. It's got things figured out. And so from this perspective, the ego is trying to be our ally. It's trying to protect us. It's trying to keep us safe. It's trying to maintain the illusion of control to keep us safe. And it does this by energetically defaulting to the mind and its unconscious programming, unconscious belief patterns. The ego defaults to the mind for information, for understanding, for decisions, for actions, for everything. The ego looks for proof, for visual confirmation. It wants to assess potential. The ego also likes to gather data, numbers, comparison. It wants to evaluate and go into that mode because, again, when the ego has this information, it can then make a decision that will keep you safe, that will prevent you from going forward into potentially dangerous territory. The ego will flare up. It will be one of those programs that operates in the background to take you somewhere you want to go or to prevent you from going somewhere that could be detrimental. And the ego wants to be important. It is connected with pride, with power, materialism. It's very much about self-importance and making sure that you're seen and you're heard. And as I'm saying each of these words, I'm actually being a little bit, I'm being very cognizant of what I'm saying to you, because not everything the ego does is negative, is bad, is about dominating or being supreme or anything or any of those negative interpretations. The ego has a very important purpose for us. And right now, we have learned to see it as a negative expression because it's so dominant, because the use of power has been taken to an extreme. It's been thrown off kilter. Ego energy is out of balance. It has thrived in the expression of masculine energy without the balancing of divine feminine power. So we look around the world and we've come to associate ego energy with qualities related to masculinity and power and external gratification, status, financial means. And we have become out of touch with the divine feminine expressions of ego energy. And because of that, we've misunderstood the ego for multiple timelines, multiple lifetimes, multiple ways we can use it. And so what we're going to be doing in this, as I'm talking here, we're going to actually start to bring your ego energy in to your essence in a very powerful way. We're going to do a brief meditation to infuse it more into your cellular level structure. And we're going to make sure and bring the ego into your soul energy. See, the ego has thrived on being separate. But the ego is not separate from you. It is a part of you. It is an essential component of your human expression. And when it's in healthy balance, when it has a clean, clear system that is fueled up on the right type of energy, it thrives. Now, there are some spiritual teachings out there that highlight the ego and that it is negative and we have to get rid of it, that we have to move away from it, that we need to make it smaller. I personally have found that some of those spiritual teachings have value and they have a place. You know, they're one step up the ladder, but they are meant to take us further and that we are ready to understand the ego in new ways. So I'm going to offer information to you, and of course you will be able to discern how it feels for you. But I just want to open the doorway that we're at a time right now when some spiritual teachings are expiring, that they are ready to take their students to a new place. And every spiritual teacher and teaching has a divine purpose. So it's not to say that some are better than or higher than. It's just that the energy moves forward. So keep that in mind that, you know, every spiritual teaching is meant to keep you moving forward because that's what energy does. Energy continually circulates. Okay, I didn't think I would speak about that, but some people needed to hear that because I know that there are, you know, keep in mind that we are continually in motion. We are continual energy in motion. And that teaching should help you move forward and to have a bigger level of understanding and higher consciousness if you choose that. So that's what I'm offering you is a new way to look at these expressions of ego energy. So what the ego has experienced for lifetimes is being separate. But when we do that, when we see the ego as being negative or not necessary or, you know, the bad guy, we are repeating that same pattern of keeping it separate, right? It's like instead of inviting it into the party, we're keeping it outside still because we're banishing it as less than, not needed, needing to be destroyed and gotten rid of. But the ego, at its highest potential, is your ally. And the big secret to working with the ego is that it needs to be reassigned and given a higher purpose. So instead of saying, okay, ego, I need you to go out there and fight or be competitive or make sure that I have this important sounding title or I dominate the land. No, you want to give the ego a higher purpose that is grounded in your higher purpose. So for example, a lot of teachers listen to this show, a lot of spiritual students listen to this show, a lot of people who want to take their business to a new level listen to this show. If you are to reassign your ego into your own energy and say, I am ready to go bigger with my business. I am ready to find more clients. I am ready to up my game. I am ready to make my platform bigger. If you gave that assignment to your ego would race after it, would go right for those tasks, would say, okay, I'm on it. I'm going to do this. Let's go. Your ego is your motivation. It can light you up. It can get you inspired. It can fire you up. It can show you what to do, what actions to take, where to direct your energy. All of this is good stuff. We need this. Otherwise, we would just sit on the couch and read our Kindles all day, right? Nothing bad about that. But the point is, the ego is the part of you that is here with a purpose, and now it's time to get moving with that purpose, to get some things happening and rolling. And so the idea is to reassign the ego to those tasks that support you and are not about other people. That's the difference. The unhealthy ego wants to be better than so-and-so, wants to outsmart so-and-so, wants to get an edge up or outperform or have higher numbers. That's the unhealthy version. The healthy version of your ego wants to support you, but it needs to know what to do. It needs to know where to go. It needs a task. And when I think of the ego, it's funny. I think of it as an energy that needs a checklist, that needs you to be clear on some level about what you want. What do you want? And maybe you don't know that on the big scale, but on a day-to-day basis, what do you want? It could be as simple as, I want fresh inspiration for my business. I want fresh focus to complete these tasks. I want to, by the end of this week, have X, Y, and Z completed. You know, the ego just needs those clear directions. When you attach it to those directions and give it to your ego, then you also want to connect it to your spiritual team, your higher self, so that you can say, okay, ego, you are going to do things in a wonderful way, and you're going to have the support of other energies at the same time. This is what's important, is that we're incorporating ego energy into our soul energy. It's taking the spiritual aspect of you and combining it with the physical, mental aspects of you. This can all work together beautifully, but again, it starts with the reassigning of these energies. Now, something to look at here that's very important is to notice where your lower-level ego energies are triggered. So this is about going to those base-level triggers, those things that set you off, take you to places you don't necessarily want to go, but you go, whether that's emotional, psychological, energetically, what have you. So let's look at some areas. The lower-level ego energies that are triggered are exactly where you need to reassign your ego. So do you get triggered with certain family members, whether that's just something they say or do or don't do? Is it your family that triggers you the most often or regularly? Is it mostly in interactions with men or with women? So look at that. You could find an interesting pattern there. Is it with women that you get triggered by something, by some type of ego flare? Is it through your interactions with men? Whether that's through you feel their need to dominate or to be superior, to be a know-it-all. I mean, all of these can apply to both men or women, but just to throw out some ideas here to get things moving for you. Where are your triggers? Is it in professional situations? Is it with an assistant that you feel is incompetent or who isn't getting as much done? Or is it with a boss who manages to trigger you or make you feel small? And then can you notice a pattern in yourself that when you feel a certain way, your lower ego energies come up to the surface. Maybe that's when you're feeling frustration, or you're feeling sadness, or you're feeling hurt. I mean, is there a part of you that then flares up? And so I threw out these categories so you could pinpoint these triggered areas. And these are the places to start. These are the places where you want to put in some type of new assignment for your ego in dealing with these. Now, there's multiple ways to do this. What I'm sharing with you now is, for many of you, it's just planting the seed. I recommend working on it energetically, if at all possible, whether that's through, say, Reiki, there's so many different healing modalities out there right now. But just have the intention of working with it energetically, as well as emotionally and mentally. And make sure that you love yourself through this, that you understand that what you're doing and changing here is big, and that it is about making yourself a better person. You're understanding yourself on new levels. There's a lot of good here. It's just not always going to feel good, because you're reprogramming a system that has worked unconsciously for all of your lifetime, if not numerous lifetimes, and you're reprogramming it on deep, permanent levels. So keep in mind that what you're moving through is significant, but also the energy support you right now in a phenomenal way. You know, you can make huge strides right now, more than ever, really. So keep that in mind, that this is about advancing your soul's energy and reinforcing what is best for you. Now, as we go through these changes and we reprogram ourselves and we establish new beliefs and we learn about our own energy, there are times when we could do what might feel like you step backwards, right? You take one step forward and then two steps back, meaning you can still have ego flare-ups. You can still be triggered. Stuff can still bother you. What we would call those lower energies could still come up. And that's okay, because what's happening is that this ego energy, it doesn't know what's going on, and it wants your validation. It wants to be acknowledged. It's a bit like, say, a three-year-old that just wants some attention right now. And it might cry and scream and pout and do all kinds of things to get your attention. And all you need to do is hold that three-year-old, comfort it, love it, cherish it, tell it it's valued, and let it know that there's something changing that's going to make everything better. So the ego will still want to express itself in the ways it knows how. I personally think, okay, why not? Sure, you know, have an hour, an ego hour, where you're annoyed or upset or reactionary to something. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. What you want to make sure is to make sure and contain that energy within yourself, that you're not throwing it around, that you're not, you know, kicking people and taking it out on others. You want to take full ownership of that. It is your energy. It is something for you to own and claim. And you can do that because it's easier when you understand the road ahead. You understand that you're just shifting, you know, you're changing this energy, and you're doing it in a way that's going to have permanent, lasting benefits. I've seen this happen, my friends. It's very, very cool. So at its highest expression, the ego will connect you even more to your unique divine fingerprint. Because when you direct that energy to you, to your soul, the ego will go for it. It will be motivated and inspired and excited to support you in this way. Your ego, at its highest expression, is a reminder that you have something important to share and do and serve here. That you're here for a purpose, that you're here for a reason. The ego will give you that get up and go. You know, that reminder that I'm here to change some things, to be seen. I'm here to be heard, but it's in a way where you're not demanding it like a child, but you're commanding it like a soul, like an adult, like a master. The ego at its highest expression also motivates you to express yourself. It validates and reinforces your self-worth. That says, I do have something to say. I do have some things I want to put out there. I do have ways I want to share myself and my gifts and go for it. That is the healthy expression of the ego. And the ego will also connect you to the supreme love that's found in unity consciousness. At its highest expression, the ego has the ability to remind you and connect you that you are love, and that everyone is love, and that we are here together, that we are united, that we are here for similar purposes, and that there is room for everybody. So what we're going to do is a quick little release exercise. It's going to be a guided meditation here, and I like to stand, as always, with my feet firmly planted on the ground. I stand straight up. My posture is straight, making sure that I'm also relaxed in my shoulders, neck, hips, and just to shake it out, okay? And so you can be sitting, standing, however you're comfortable, and also I want you to feel into your core, which is your solar plexus, right around your belly button, just in the middle of it. And when I think of the core, I actually see it going into the body where some of our most important organs are. And it's just that central sun. You see it as that central sun in the middle of our body, in the middle of our essence. It's alive, vibrant, beautiful, strong. Just focus on that. Okay? And imagine that inner sunlight that's beaming from you, imagine it expanding out, okay? Expanding out, 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 a foot outside of your physical structure, maybe 3 feet outside of your structure. It's just growing. And I literally see it as a sun with rays, sparkles, illumination, some glitter there. It's just very vibrant, a very warm yellow, orange. Okay. So what you want to do is just repeat after me. This is very simple. I now release all lower expressions of my ego across all timelines, all dimensions of time, and all lifetimes. I now release all lower expressions of my ego across all timelines, all dimensions of time, and all lifetimes. One more time. I now release all lower expressions of my ego across all timelines, all dimensions of time, and all lifetimes. Okay, so we're moving and activating that solar plexus sun to burn away those deeper energies, to burn them away. And now as we're in this state, we're going to connect you up and reassign the ego's energy to a more pure state. So with the sun blazing in you, we're going to expand it even more, even more. We're expanding it so that it literally moves beyond your room, your house, keeps going out, out. And with all of us doing this together, we're actually creating a common solar structure. We're creating and linking our strong ego energies to each other, okay? And now, as a result, we're linking it to our soul energy. Okay, so what we're doing now is we're connecting the ego's expressions, the ego's needs, the ego's talents to the greatest good for all. And we're infusing this energy, this grid system, this new energy that when you share your gifts, ideas, messages, and yourself, it benefits all. When you share your gifts, ideas, messages, talents, yourself, it benefits all. And this energy is moving around the globe, around all of us, through all of us. Oh, I feel it in my upper shoulders. I feel it in my spine. It's moving. It's moving. It's connecting all of us. It's allowing space for everybody's light, for everybody's power, for everyone's essence to shine. And we're doing this in such a way that it's having an imprint on your psyche, and it's allowing you to accept your ego, to accept that drive, the motivation, inspiration. It allows you to do everything you are here to do. This is a high-level infusion of your own energy, and it's reinforcing your divine blueprint. Okay. Let's come back into our body. Shake it out if you need to. Move around, move your shoulders, wrists, hands, maybe move your feet, legs, hips. Shake it out a bit. Okay, that felt really strong. There were thousands of us doing that, and I'm feeling it that there's even more people who are going to come in and do that same exercise. And as they do, what we're doing is we're lighting up these higher energies within ourselves, within each other, within the planet and the galaxy. It's that big when we do this all together. And we have burnt away layers of energy and previous definitions of ego. Okay, we scorched it, burned away some of those other ways that ego energy has flared up. And we've connected it to opening you up to your spiritual gifts more, to utilizing your ego in the best possible way. And what I'm hearing now from my team is that each of us now needs to be, or I should say, should make the choice to be open to ways that we're now ready to claim our gifts more. To share a message, to be creative, to say what you need to say, knowing that it comes from a very pure, high vibe energy. Yeah, that feels really powerful. Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a quick 60-second water break so I can get some water, and then we're going to look at Mars in your astrology chart, and it relates to this topic we're looking at here. We're going to talk about how you can best use your ego energy even more. If you have your astrology chart, you'll want to take a look at it now. Otherwise, you can come back to the show and listen to it again and hear about this energy. So now is the perfect time to grab your chart, and I'll be back with you in 60 seconds.
I want to make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collarbone, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? I saw the disregard, a broken bottle top, and one man's slow. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one yet to know.
Such a great song, Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson, one of my all-time favorites. You'll hear that many times on this show. I just think it has some beautiful energy to it. You know, Michael Jackson's energy was beyond our global energy, and that's why he was such a star and why we look to him for so much inspiration on many levels. Yes, he was misunderstood, but it's because his energy was incredibly high and compassionate and loving. And I feel that in his music, so good stuff there. So let's take a look at Mars in your astrology chart. I have the glyph of Mars on the Blog Talk Radio website there, and it looks like a circle with a diagonal arrow coming out of it. And in your chart, it's going to be found in one of the astrological signs. Now, also on the Blog Talk Radio slideshow, I have up there the 12 astrological glyphs so that you can see where your Mars is. It might require pausing the slideshow to make some quick matches, but that's what that's there for, so you can figure it out. I'm going to be pretty, general about these descriptions, because as with everything in your astrological chart, it will relate to more specifics for you. So, for example, your Mars energy is going to interact with your Sun's energy to determine how you assert yourself and how you move forward and how you go for what you want. That's going to be different for every person. It also depends on which house those planets are in and how they aspect one another. There's multiple layers of this. So this is just a starting point, and it's to get you some information about how you use your energy and what the best and highest expressions are, as well as some pitfalls to look for. So let's get started here. We start with Mars in Aries. Mars in Aries is all about let's do it, let's go, let's get started. This is the initiator, leader, the one who wants to get stuff happening. Mars in Aries can be very impulsive, very inspired, very energetic. It is the combination where you charge ahead and go for what you want. It's just like that single vision. It's about new beginnings, starting something fresh. It can relate very strongly to your own personal motives. In that regard, it can be selfish. It can be all about me, 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 without understanding how your motivations and actions would affect others. There's a lot of energy to this, and because of that, you might magnetize people to you. They pick up on your own fire. They get excited about what you're excited about. Mars in Aries is a strong combination of energy. And so you want to look out for making sure that you're not just, one, looking only out for yourself, but two, you could be the person who starts everything and finishes nothing. You have a gazillion ideas, and you do this and do this and do this, and then you abandon it because you're bored or you don't want to do it anymore, and you go off and start something new. Now, that's not to say that's bad. And again, it depends on your chart, but it's something to be aware of. Like, do you start everything and finish nothing? And then at the end of your life, if you were to look back, what would you see? So keep that in mind if you have Mars in Aries. Mars in Taurus is very different. Taurus wants to build. Let's make it practical. Let's turn this into something. Mars in Taurus has a stick-with-it quality. We're going to get this done. In fact, Mars in Taurus is the one who will stick with the project after everyone else has left. It's the one still building, still determined to do something and complete it. It will make a commitment. Mars in Taurus makes a commitment based on practical considerations. Oftentimes, there's a simplicity that's involved. You know, let's not complicate this. Let's just make it simple, stick to it, get it done. There's a lot of willpower here. There could also be a lot of stubbornness. And Mars in Taurus might be financially motivated. You know, you might want to build something because you're going to make money from it. On the other hand, you could go after a project or something you want because it reinforces who you are, your self-value. You see the value in this as a reflection of your own personal value. Mars in Gemini. Mars in Gemini has a vibrancy to it. There's a lot going on. This could be the person you go in multiple directions at once. You are a supreme multitasker, and you thrive on that stimuli. Your mental gears might be going in all directions all the time, and that's just your MO. That's just how you operate. You're all about following the latest information, what's interesting, what's the best data, what are the numbers. There's a lot here about using the intellect. You might be wonderful with languages and communications and translating. This is also, though, with Mars and Gemini, there's a commitment issue here, where meaning you could have so many things going on that you don't have the priorities are skewed. You don't know what to focus on. You don't know what to make a full commitment to. So keep an eye out for that you aren't spreading yourself too thin and nothing really gets completed and nothing gets finished in the way that you would like it to. The other thing about Mars and Gemini is that you could love travel and getting out every day and moving around, and yet there could be a lack of grounding. Like, you're out doing everything, and you forget to come home, and oh yeah, don't forget the laundry, and don't forget to unload the dishwasher. I mean, it could be that you're so scattered. So if you're Mars and Gemini, just keep an eye out for being scattered, and prioritize. Because you're such a great multitasker, maybe make it three things you need to do today instead of 10. So then we look at Mars in Cancer. Cancer is about emotional security. And with Mars, before you take action, you on some level are wondering, is it safe? Is it okay? Is it secure? And am I going to be stepping out of bounds? There's because it's associated with Cancer, which is the crab in the zodiac, there's a need sometimes with Mars in Cancer, you move sideways. You don't take a step forward, you take a step sideways. You're assessing more information, testing the ground. But if you feel good about something, I mean, like, you feel really secure and excited and ready to go, you have a wholehearted approach to a project. When you are in love with something, you go for it, and you are excited to initiate it and get it going. There's also a quality here, though, where you might want to keep one foot in the water and one foot out of the water. The Mars in Cancer can be also reactionary, conditional. You could set up some things where you're like, okay, well, I'm only going to do it if. or I will only commit to something if, you know, and you have these conditions set in place, and that's because you're trying to maintain some boundaries and to feel safe. And with, for Mars in Cancer, trust. Come back to trusting yourself. Come back to listening to your feelings. Make sure that your feelings are heard. And to know that it's okay to step outside your comfort zone and that not everyone wants to hurt you. There could be something here where you're unconsciously following something you, a pattern you received from your mom. That comes up strongly for a lot of people with Mars in Cancer. Okay, now we move to Mars in Leo. Much different energy. There's a lot of force here. Mars in Leo, this is one of the combinations where you are ready to go for it. And you want the adventure. You have the courage. You want to try something new. There's a fun quality here. You're inspired by creative expression. You're inspired about taking a risk. Mars in Leo is the mountain biker going down the mountain at top speed, is the one who wants to be a daredevil. You have a tendency to go for it. And this is physical, but it's also in your spirit. Mars in Leo has a lot of pride, maybe sometimes too much pride, where you say, oh, if someone tells me no, I'm going to do it just to prove them wrong. You want to make sure that your creativity is being expressed. Make time for play and fun. For Mars and Leo, it's just part of your makeup where you need to get out and have a good time and really make sure that you're enjoying the pleasures of life. But make sure you don't take it to the extreme, that you're not, you're not doing something because of other people or because you want attention. That's something else that comes up with strong Leo energy, is to look at your motivation and to make sure you're doing it for the highest possible reasons, not because you want to be in the spotlight. Mars in Virgo is a different, this is a much different energy than Mars in Leo. This is about practical concerns, being productive, making sure that you're doing disciplined work, that you're following a routine. Mars in Virgo finds comfort in a routine, in checklists, in efficiency. You could be motivated by organizing information and following through with it efficiently and accurately. There's a strive for perfection with Mars in Virgo. And this can set you up for disappointment because your expectations are too high, your standards are too high, and you're expecting too much of yourself. You know, you're becoming your own worst critic. Mars in Virgo, it's very important to take care of your physical body. Health is important, diet, healing, anything that supports your body, even going to the gym. Mars in Virgo is actually strongly associated with athletes because of the daily commitment to the physical body and its needs. So if you have Mars in Virgo, I strongly recommend paying attention to your body and making sure that your body works for you and that you're taking care of it in a supreme way. Now we have Mars in Libra. And this is an interesting combination because Libra is about the pros and cons of something. You know, you look at one side and then you look at the other. You compare. You analyze. You take in and say, okay, there's this side of the coin and then there's this side of the coin. There's an assessment that happens. And because of this, Mars and Libra can be uncertain about which direction to take, can be paralyzed with indecision. You can have some uncertainty about what to do. But chances are, with Mars in Libra, you want to work with other people. You're motivated to be in partnerships with others. You know, if you are sharing the responsibilities or you're on a project together with someone, that will lift you up. Also, there's a need for diplomacy, for peace, for cooperation, for things to be kind of balanced. But, you know, not everything is balanced all the time. So you can be going back and forth. Mars in Libra, though, is just an excellent communicator. And you have a way to, you need to intellectually understand something before moving forward with it. That's usually a strong theme that comes up. And then the other thing that's interesting is that you might even feel that you need some contract in place, legalities, some type of commitment. And so for Mars, if you have Mars in Libra, there's a part of you that wants to be in partnership with somebody else when you're completing tasks. At the same time, you might not always want to get your hands dirty. You might kind of be a little bit, you know, let's keep it clean and dignified. And there's a quality to Libra that's very sophisticated. So there could be a part of you that doesn't want to dive into the messy stuff, right? Which then takes us to Mars in Scorpio, which does want to dive in. Mars in Scorpio is a very strong combination. Intensity, focus, passion, even a laser sharp focus and passion when you have your eyes set on a goal. Mars in Scorpio wants to dig in, wants to go deeper, will do the research, is inspired and excited by more information, by greater understanding, by the complexities and the intricacies. Mars in Scorpio is powerful. And you are thinking and considering a financial aspects, what you're sharing with others, what you possess and or own, as well as other ways you can work with other people's resources. Something to be aware of, though, with Mars in Scorpio is to make sure you don't become overly obsessed, not healthy. To make sure you're not so fixated on something, oh, actually, like, you're not like a stalker or you're not a control freak. You could be so focused on something that you never, you can't even see the light of day anymore. You know, you're just so deep into something that you lose sight of what's important. Okay, moving on. Then we have Mars in Sagittarius. This one is all about let's explore, let's have some fun, let's go outside. Mars in Sagittarius is a hunter, is a seeker, is all about the bigger picture and going out into the world and movement and action and getting fired up about something big, the big plan, the big dream. Thinking beyond what others are thinking. This has a lot of energy to it. It also has a lot of restlessness. And you don't want to just sit around. You want to get out there and get something done. You don't want to look at the details. Sagittarius is not interested in the details, honey. Let's get the bigger picture here. Let's look at the meaning and the understanding and the belief. If you have Mars in Sagittarius, you want to make sure that you're not forgetting those details. You know, dot the I, cross the T, and to get some things done instead of just staying up in the philosophical discussions. So then we'll go to Mars in Capricorn. It's funny. Whenever I see Mars in Capricorn, I automatically feel like a military sergeant or like a drill captain or someone who is an authority within an organization or who is an expert on something and they want to be the authority on a topic. They want to be a leader among peers. And so you're motivated around organization, management. You want to be taken seriously for your knowledge and your expertise. You give off a natural air of leadership, whether you realize it or not, and you're motivated by that. You want to get things done. You could have a strict regimen you follow. You could have a way, a program, or something that you're following through on that motivates you to your goals. There's a lot of achievement associated with Mars in Capricorn. You want to be recognized. You want the rewards. You want to be out in society. There's something here where you want to be connected to the greater good, and that could be motivating you to be an expert in your field. Then we move to Mars in Aquarius, which is about, Mars in Aquarius is a very spicy energy. This is about being motivated by the bigger dreams you have for yourself, the ways that you can benefit others. You can be motivated by working with humanitarian efforts, working with charities, volunteering for everything, being a brilliant inventor. You know, you have like a mind that's constantly moving, and you're inspired by innovation, new ideas, being known as that innovator of an industry even. You know, you want to take something further than it's gone before. Maybe you want to find the latest idea and go for it, make it real. There's a lot of consistency and focus with this energy. It's also a machine-like determination. You know, it churns. And there's a need to constantly be moving all the gears and getting stuff done. Mars in Aquarius will do things differently than others. You will do things your own way, on your own timeline, your own, following your own map. But you might be motivated by networks of people, social groups, friendships, acquaintances. You know, you want to be connected. That's important for Mars in Aquarius. And then we move to Mars in Pisces, which is a very different energy. Mars in Pisces is inspired to take action based on inspiration. It's about demonstrating and getting excited about going for something because of how it sparks up your creativity. It could be connected to spiritual interests and meaning. Mars in Pisces can have this undercurrent of, I'll do it on my own timeline when I want to, and I'm not going to be tied down to a checklist or anybody else's timeline. I'm trusting the bigger process. I'm trusting how things come together. There's flexibility here and adaptability. At the same time, there's inconsistency. You know, you're not committed to doing the same thing every day because you're tapped into the bigger energies and you're inspired by the bigger energies. So you do things when the energy feels right, when inspiration hits. So Mars in Pisces, you want to make sure that you're not drifting away out of reality. You want to stay in reality and understand that there are things to get done, but to also trust your feelings, and that if you know that Thursday is a better day to get something done instead of Tuesday, that's fine. Just to keep an eye on how you're directing your energy and making sure that you are getting things done and not, and also not sacrificing your energy for other people's energy. Because that's something that Pisces can do, is that it can give away its own energy for the good of others. So you want to call it back to you and use your own energy to get things done and to reach your goals. So there you have it, my friends. That's a quick roundup of all of the Mars energies. And like I said, it will depend on what your astrological chart is and how these energies work with your unique divine fingerprint. So I hope that was a good starting point to understanding yourself better. I thank you so much for listening. And next week we're going to be talking about boundaries, discernment, and solitude. So I hope to see you here, because as always, I appreciate your time and I appreciate your energetic presence. Have a great week ahead. Goodbye.
That I can have a moment for life.